So I do apologize for that, not just for picking on you, but not for encouraging membership, because Brianna's here, and she's not a member. And Chris is here, and he's not a member. And Brant, are you 18? Yeah, and Cody, he's not a member, so I could have picked on anybody, but you know, you were just in front. You know, they say the people that sit in front, they get the best, but in any case. I love you, bro. Sorry. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew if you are not already there. I know that a number of you have read the book that came out a little bit ago called Heaven is for Real, about Colton Burpo and his experience with his illness, and his father wrote the book. And I've read the book recently, enjoyed the book. I'm not here to give an endorsement to the book. There's some things I find quite objectionable in it, but still a quaint story. And there is there's one part of it that very much intrigued me, and I think it's appropriate to start it this morning with recounting it a little bit. And it has to do with Todd, the father's grandfather. His name was Pop. And Colton claims to have gone to heaven and seen Pop and talked with Pop, having never met the man before. And that came as a surprise to Todd, the father, who's a pastor. And he got to talking about how he remembered his relationship with Pop, Todd, when he was a boy. And this is what Todd, the father of Colton, says about his grandfather, Pop. "I spent a lot of time with Pop at their place out in the country. I said to Colton, I rode on the combine and the tractor with him. And he had a dog, and we'd take him out and hunt rabbits." Colton nodded again. "Yeah, I know. Pop told me." "Well, I didn't know what to say, so I said, the dog's name was Charlie Brown, and he had one blue eye and one brown eye." "Cool," Colton said. "Can we get a dog like that?" I chuckled. "We'll see." Why this section intrigued me, especially for this morning, is because Todd recounts an episode in his life that I have heard repeatedly from individuals. I have a story myself that's very similar, of going out to the country to be with my Uncle Arthur and to be with him in his wood shop and in his metal shop. And people who got to spend summers with relatives out in the country, or were raised with their grandparents or aunts and uncles. And we tend to, when we hear those stories, focus on the ancillary, the outlying things, the metal shop, the wood shop, the dog, the walk, the combine, and miss the heart of what Todd is really saying. "I spent a lot of time with Pop." Being with Pop is the important thing. And there are a number of things in the Christmas account, in Matthew and Luke, that we know and see. And we can get caught up in the fact that the reason why we say that there are three wise men. How many wise men do we have, Stacy, in our play? Three? Where's Stacy? I know they're around. Do we have three? The reason why we say three is because there were three gifts presented: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We have no idea how many wise men there were. The Bible never says it. Did they see the star in the east, or did they come from the east? I forget. We can wrangle about that as well. And good King, we get caught up in the ancillary type things at times about the Christmas account. And they're important things. Beloved, believe me, they're important things. But the message from Matthew's gospel is that his name is Emmanuel. And that means God is with us. God is with us. And in so focusing on that, we need to remember the familiar things of this account. Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. We took a look at Mary last week in the conception, or maybe that was 2 weeks ago. She was engaged to Joseph. Before they had come together, she was with child, and Joseph knew that he wasn't the father of this child. And so he, being a righteous man, which means full of mercy, a believer in God, he could have ordered her death by stoning, but he didn't. Being a righteous man, he said, I'm going to show mercy and I'm going to put her away privately. I'm not going to cause her any embarrassment. She's got enough to deal with. I'm just going to be done with it. And when he goes to sleep, an angel comes and announces to him in a dream, Joseph, you are a righteous man. I mean, I don't know that the angel said that. He said, you have a plan, but Joseph, this child is from Almighty God. She is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And when this child comes, here's his name. You call him Jesus. And Joseph awoke and did what the angel said. Now Matthew, by inspiration, tells us that this came to pass in order to fulfill the prophecy from Isaiah 700 years before. Joseph, we need to remember that Joseph is a righteous man. We need to remember that the law said that she should be stoned, and instead she gets mercy. We should remember that there is a legal context here. It's really important to the understanding of what is being said in Matthew's gospel. So we remember the familiar. That's your first R. Reading, writing, arithmetic, the 3 R's. We got 3 R's this morning. Remember the familiar things. How do they apply to us? Well, how long have you been a believer? How long have you had faith in Christ? When is it that you crossed over from non-follower to follower? From condemned to hell to saved to heaven? When God transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son? How long has that been? Are you familiar with it? Your faith. Does your faith include the knowledge that God is with you wherever you go? Right here, right now, Almighty God is with you. Our church, does it apply to our church? When we come together and we run bulletins and nobody sees, when we come together and vacuum up the glitter and nobody sees, and I don't see any hay bales yet, but I mean, that's always fun to get out of the carpet. And, you know, when we get on our hands and knees and pick, is God with you then in your church? Not just on Sunday morning when you're supposed to be here, when we're supposed to be together and worshiping, but all the other times in the body of Christ, our church must remember that which is familiar. God is with us. This Christmas, in the hustle and bustle of finding that one gift and getting ready with the lefse and the lutefisk and the family coming over and making sure the toilet paper is over the roll the right way and, you know, you've got the right candles out and all that stuff. And believe me, this year we've had a couple of days here where we've been just searching for this one gift and we couldn't find it. Drove me crazy. I'm calling everywhere. I'm searching on my smartphone by... Thank God for smartphones so I can call instead of drive halfway across Grand Forks and say, do you have this item? No, we don't carry that. Why don't you carry that? You're a sporting goods store. Why wouldn't you carry that? I don't know. We just don't have it, okay? All right, let's take a last shot and go to some mart. Oh, yeah, we got those. Do you want a toy or do you want the adult version? I want the adult version. He doesn't want a toy. Yeah, we have those. We don't have the toys. Oh, great. Did I remember in the car going through that God is with me? Remember the familiar. Just remember it. God is with you. God is with us. And then we need to recognize the author. You know, this is Matthew's gospel, and it's beautiful. I love Matthew's perspectives on things. The person that God made him to see and who he writes to and how he has Jesus Christ as the king. I mean, that's his portrait. If Matthew were a painter, he would paint Christ as a king. He quotes the Old Testament more than any other author, especially in the Gospels, other than Paul in Romans. Matthew is full of the Old Testament. And he, as he writes his Gospel, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm not taking that away from God's Holy Word. But Matthew, the little a author, little a, lowercase a, for you elementary school kids. The little A author, Matthew, tells us the account here beautifully. And one of the things that he adds in here, that he puts in, that he wants us to know, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the big A, the capital A author, Almighty God, moving through the little A author, says, now, the reason why this angel came to talk to with in a dream, to talk with Joseph, was to fulfill the prophecy so that you and I would know the identification of this little boy. The big A author says this is to fulfill that prophecy. You can read all kinds of commentaries, liberal commentaries of Isaiah, who will totally decimate chapter 7, 8, and 9 of Isaiah. But I have not yet found a one that has dealt in the context of Isaiah dealing with Matthew's proclamation. I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure they're out there. But they have to stay away from it because it tells us what Isaiah was saying. Recognize the big A author. God made a promise in Isaiah 700 years before that one would come and his name would be Emmanuel. And the big A, God, the author, tells Matthew, listen, this is him. Matthew identifies him for us. God keeps his promises. Do you trust God to keep his promises? Do you trust God to keep his promises? Yesterday, I had the privilege of standing in the front as Tanner and Cody took their vows and made their promises before God and the company that they would love, honor, cherish, take their vows. And then the pastor, Cody's pastor, Pastor Bud, did something very interesting. He gave them a gift. It was part of his sermon message. And he had found a penny that week. And he made a big deal about this penny, about giving it to them. It doesn't really amount to much. It was kind of old and tarnished. And he said, but on the top, it says something. In God we trust. And I think he tried to encourage them to trust God. Why? Well, I mean, that really wasn't there yesterday. It was just kind of a statement, trust God. Why? Why would you want to trust God? Why would you and I want to trust a God who can't stop earthquakes? Who can't solve the problem of evil in the world? Who can't keep marriages together, who we pray to and doesn't change us. Is your God weak? Do you trust him to keep his promises? Believe me, God could do those things. God could keep marriages together. God can stop earthquakes. God does heal disease. Why doesn't he? Well, there are answers for those questions. One of them is, I don't know. But there are other answers. But the point here for us this morning is that God keeps his promises. And you and I need to recognize the big A author in those things. Do you trust him every day with all of your things? Have you exercised faith? Do you trust? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? John chapter 3, verse 16. You don't have to go there. I'll go there. It's a very familiar passage to us. But look at what it says, or follow along as I read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Absolutely. If you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. If you trust him as your Savior, you have eternal life. In John chapter 3, if you're born from above, if you're born again, you have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him, Jesus, is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment. That the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. We don't put evil at God's feet. That's squarely on those who perpetrate evil. Because the light has come, and they have chosen darkness rather than light. Do you believe? Do you trust God? Have you exercised faith to say, yes, I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior for the forgiveness of my sins? Because Christ came to save, not to judge. Not here. Not now. Someday. But his death on the cross, his mission, is to let us know that God is with us. And we need to recognize the big A author. Remember the familiar, recognize the author, the big A author, and then rejoice in the relationship. Beloved, rejoice in the relationship you have with Almighty God. God is with you. Now, you're going to write, because I'm going to move fast. In Genesis 3:8, Adam and Eve have fallen. They have listened to the serpent. They have eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in 3:8, it says, and then God shows up. And they hear the sound of him in the garden in the cool of the day. God's presence is there. And they, the cool of the day, the wind and the breeze. They get the nice northerly breeze on that hot summer day. And they know he's there. God is with them. And what do? Because God is with them, they hide. And God says, where are you? And they're busted. Because he knows where they are. Well, why were you hiding? Well, because we were naked and afraid and, you know, we heard you come. And who told you you were naked? Did you eat? You see, they didn't repent of their sin. They tried to hide their sin. They tried to cover it up. Just like you and I. We try to make amends. We try to be good people when God's presence is with us. And his Holy Spirit is convicting us of our sins. Beloved, don't do that. Don't do that. Walk with the Lord in the cool of the day because God is with us, and repent of your sin. Deuteronomy 31:6. I want to turn to this one because I love it, because we're very, and those of you in release time, at least last year, we haven't sung it yet this year, and I hope we do. I hope we get back to it because I love singing it, and I know it's a favorite at VBS and other places, but Deuteronomy 31:6 is a reiteration by Moses when he's recounting, just before the end. Deuteronomy 31:6. I'm going to start at verse 5. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Tremble. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is with you. The one who goes with you, he will not fail or forsake you. And that's a reference to when he said it before in Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. Joshua, we sing that song, right, in release time? Have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Do you remember that one? Yeah, do you remember that one? Yeah. Good. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? He said it more than once. And the reason why you and I should be strong and courageous in the face of insurmountable enemies is because God is with them. It's not because they have the best technological weapons. It's not because they've been well trained. It's not for any other reason that they should be strong and courageous than other than God is with you. 1 Kings 8:57. This is a beautiful one. I love this. This is Solomon's. He does a dedication of the temple. He gets the people all worked up and reads the scripture, and then at the end he gives his benediction. How would you like a church service to end with this benediction? This is a good one. This is a good one. 1 Kings 8:57. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. May the Lord our God be with us and he, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded to our fathers. Psalm 130, verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. Hope. Psalm 23, verse 4. You know the 23rd Psalm? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Isaiah 8:10 is the quote in Matthew 1:23. You shall name him Jesus. And this happened to fulfill the prophet's prophecy. They will call him Emmanuel, which being translated means God with us. God is with us. And that's not just then, and it's not just right here, right now, but it shall be for those who trust Christ. Always. Here's the hard ones. Here's the ones that we need so much of today, especially this week, as we think of our family and friends. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Starting at verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body than to be at home with the Lord. When our loved ones pass from this earth, having trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior on this earth, they are at home with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. I go back to the Burpo book. Colton had a habit of running out of stores and running through the parking lot to their car, just, you know, as little kids do. They don't understand that a car could stop their life just like that. And I think it's in an ice cream parlor. He runs out and Todd yells at him and says, Colton, you have to stop doing that. That car could hit you and kill you. And he says, oh, good. I get to die and go to heaven again. We fight and struggle so hard to stay here. Todd doesn't go all the way to unwrapping his prayers at the hospital for his son, Colton. But basically, he prayed him back to this earth when he was already in eternity. The truth and veracity of what the kid is saying, To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's right here, right now as well. And then our final verse is 1 Thessalonians 4:17 through 18. And you probably know I was going there because we have to. It is our hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It is our comfort. The comfort of Christ's second coming. Starting at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. See, there it is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For if they believed in Jesus and they died, that Jesus died and rose again, God will bring with Christ those who have fallen asleep in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Do you enjoy Emmanuel? Do you understand that God is with you, that God is with us? There is no place we can go from his presence. And one day, if we traverse the veil of life and we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we who would have fallen asleep will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forever. And if we haven't gone through the veil of death and are alive when he comes, we will be caught up with him in the air so that we might be with him forever. Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which translated means, God is with us. You and I are never alone. Tonight, shepherd, wise men, sheep, angel, Mary, Joseph, the thing you're telling us is that God is with us. We need to hear that more than just once a year. We need to know that every day. No matter what our stuff is, no matter what hardship, no matter what joy we are experiencing in our lives, God is with us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the wonder of the sunshine. We thank you for the wonder of your sun shining. We thank you that he has come and his name is Emmanuel, his title. He is the CEO of God with us. We thank you so much for his coming. And we pray that in our hearts we might cherish and enjoy fellowship with you forever and ever. Amen.